them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It shall not be poured out on the body of an ordinary person, and you shall make no other like it in composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall be an equal part, and make an incense blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. Today we have the great pleasure of hearing from TCC-supported missionary John Ames. I don't want to steal any of his thunder. I will spare you my version of the details and pass the service off to him. You can get to know him a bit better after the service if you head downstairs to 103 for coffee and conversations. So ladies and gentlemen, John Ames.
Test 1, 2, 3. We're on. Okay. I had it backwards. Good. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Melissa and Eric and all of those who have prepared things. Jim, for the worship time. It's just wonderful to be here with all of you, and good morning to you. Trinity, TCC of Norwood. Back in the day, it was EBC, Evangelical Baptist Church, back when I first started out here, but it's always good to be back in New England. I live in Pennsylvania, as some of you may know, and it's always good to be back in New England and coming this way from Pennsylvania and many trips in Africa, because I get to see the familiar sights of New England and the greater Boston area and put on all my paraphernalia stuff, you know, of New England here. And so, I mean, I'm Boston Celtics. You know, I could keep this on, maybe. No, we'll take it off. But anyhow, it's great to be back and to be with you. Let's see. Patriots, Red Sox. Red Sox have had a good weekend, right? And Celtics, Revolution, Bruins. My goodness. But let me first begin by saying to you in Swahili the words, Asante Sana. Asante sana. Can you say that with me? Very good. That means thank you very much in Swahili. You don't even need a phonetics class. Excellent. Well done. And you could just jump right over into Kenya and be very welcoming there. But you know, Swahili now a little bit, and it's always good. It's one of the largest languages in Africa, one of the native languages there. And I just want to say that is a sincere thank you from Karen and myself. TCC has been with us from the very beginning in our missions work. I was here as an associate pastor back in the 80s. I know for some of you those years didn't exist, but back in the 80s, and then we were off to Africa for many years, and then came back to pastor in the daughter church of TCC. And then for the past 5 years, I've been involved in missions leadership in all of sub-Saharan Africa, which is a large area of 50 countries below the Sahara Desert. So we're involved in 9 countries with training leaders there, and we're so thankful for that opportunity. It's good to see some familiar faces out there and a lot that I don't recognize. And as the body of Christ grows and changes, it's always great to have the opportunity come back to this region to see what God is doing. You have made it possible for Karen and myself and our other Africa Impact Team members to be involved in starting and strengthening churches. For many years, we did it in Cote d'Ivoire, in Ivory Coast, and now in 9 other countries in West Africa and East Africa. I'm also looking forward to be going more into Central Africa in November. Talking with one of you about going to Zambia, I'll be in Zambia in November, I get the privilege and the blessing to travel. So far this year, I've been to Liberia, been to Ghana. We had our celebration. Karen, my wife, went with me to Senegal. And in about 2 days, as I think Eric mentioned, I'll be traveling to Kenya and to Uganda, which is in East Africa, as we do some leadership seminars there. I'll be with one of our Converge missionaries, Tom Shotanis, a veteran missionary who was in Cameroon for many years. Some of you may have followed the situation in Cameroon. There's been a split in the English and French-speaking areas, and so they had to be evacuated out with other missionaries. And it's still politically unsettled there. But Tom will be going with me into Kenya and Uganda. We leave in a couple of days. It's Kenya Airways. I think it's about a 14-hour flight. So you can pray for me that I don't have any blood clots and stay awake, walk around the aisles, and get there in good shape. Well, it's exciting to see what God is doing globally. We are so privileged to be involved with that. Since the days of the early church, as Paul told the Colossians, you may remember, he said, the gospel that has come to you is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth. The gospel is bearing fruit all over the world, just as it has been here at TCC, as the gospel is bringing forth and bearing forth fruit. You may remember in the letter to the Romans, Paul says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so as we, brothers and sisters, are faithful to live and share the gospel, the good news from heaven, we are assured that it will bring forth fruit. It will bear fruit because it is the power of God. The message that comes from heaven transforms lives, and it will also cause spiritual growth to take place in every generation, among all peoples, every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we, as I've said, have had the privilege of being sent and seeing this happen in the sub-Saharan region of Africa. Here are just a couple of slides that I wanted to show you of my trip to Ghana and the training sessions that we held there at the J. Chris Bible Institute and what is known as the Hopewell Seminary. What a privilege it was to pastor with our partner, Dr. Francis Akwa, who heads up this work, and he's trained over 200 disciples and disciple makers in the past 10 years through his institute and through his training sessions. It's just been a blessing to do that, to be able to travel and see what God is doing. And then we had the opportunity to travel into the northern part of Ghana, to travel north into Tamale, which is the fastest growing city in all of West Africa. See a picture of that prop plane there. That was an interesting flight. Hadn't been on a prop plane for a while, but it worked just fine, always did, always will. And so we are up in the northern part of Ghana, and we are looking to start and develop two churches in an area that is largely without the gospel witness. So you can continue to pray for that. A well-known scholar pastor has said this. He said, missions is all about praying, going, giving, and sending, which to me means very simply that missions is a team effort when we are all on the team. So thanks, TCC, for being part of the team. You are part of the team, and I hope you feel that. Missions is a team effort, and we get to worship and disciple and work together, and I am eternally grateful for all of what God is doing in our partnership. There's a 4-minute video on my Converge website if you want to go there about my trip to Ghana. We'll also be showing that downstairs during the coffee time for those of you who are interested. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about the light shining in the darkness. The light shining in the darkness. And I count it a privilege to open up God's word with you this morning. Sort of our key verse is, and we realize that God has spoken down through the ages through his word and continues to speak to us today through his word, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. But here's our text this morning. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live," or literally walk, "as children of light. For the fruit of light, the fruit of the light, consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live," or literally walk, "as children of light." Will you pray with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, this is your word, and it comes to us divinely inspired. And God, you desire to transform us as we interact with it. And as your Holy Spirit dwells in us, may he lead us. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, you are our strength and our blessed Redeemer. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you were not aware already, light is a major theme in the Bible. John the Apostle states that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is also the giver of light. He is the creator of physical light. Remember back in Genesis, as darkness covered over all of that unformed area that God was about to deal with, God declared in the first day of creation, he said, "Let there be light." And he spoke it, and there was light at his command on that first day of creation. And God saw what? Remember that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Could we ever imagine what the world would be like without light? Do you imagine that? How many of us have ever groped around in the darkness looking for the flashlight or looking for a candle when the electricity goes out at night? It's a bit scary, isn't it? But once the candle is lit or the flashlight is turned on, well, there's this sigh of relief. And who hasn't marveled at the beauty of the glory of a sunrise or a sunset as the light begins to fade as the sun sets? Light is indeed a fascinating phenomenon in God's creation. There are visible and invisible forms of light. It travels at an incredible speed of what? 186,000 miles per second, taking 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth, a distance of 149 million kilometers. I think that's 92 million miles. Light brings color to our world. It is a major source of energy through solar power. It is used to make precision cuts in the eyeball with eye surgery. It can cut through the thickest of metals. It carries telephone messages on fiber optics. It allows us to use our remotes with our TVs. What would we be without that? And it uses the barcodes at the grocery store. But perhaps the greatest quality of light is that it dispels darkness. It dispels darkness in the physical and, yes, also in the spiritual realm. No matter how deep the darkness around, a small candle will dispel that darkness. It will shatter it. We know what God's word tells us. It says, Jesus, as we know, declared himself the light of the world. The psalmist declares, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Remember, Isaiah the prophet said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Clearly, it has such a wonderful, wonderful spiritual parallel. In John's prologue in his gospel, remember, John states that is in Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Later in chapter 5, John locks these two ideas as he talks about in verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." Light and life are divinely linked with each other and with the Father. Later on, furthermore, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible speaks of the Son being Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. One would think that if there was a message from God, a divine word of radiance from the creator and sustainer of the universe, then all the world would want to bask in that light like on a sunny beach in a sunny afternoon in the summer. But here's the kicker. John 3:19, the Bible says what? This is the verdict. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world. But what? Men love darkness rather than light. Why? John tells us because their deeds were evil. So why then? Why then love the darkness? I ask myself that question. Why would human beings prefer or love darkness rather than light? It doesn't seem to make sense. Have you ever thought about that? Darkness brings what? It brings fear. It brings confusion and worry. It takes us into shadowy living. Well, John the Apostle states for us, and we just mentioned it, it's because the deeds, human deeds, are evil. And we can say without a doubt, down through history, since the time of Adam and Eve and the garden, humanity has lived in darkness under the power of the Prince of Darkness. Just look at our history of war on this planet. Some of you history buffs perhaps have studied over the years. How many years when there has not been much, any war at all? There's very few. I recently learned the statistics about World War II. Do you know how many people died during World War II? Between 55 and 75 million people. What is wrong with us as human beings? In the 1990s, in the Rwandan genocide, in a period of 100 days, 600,000 people in ethnic rivalries were murdered. What is wrong with the heart of humanity? In that we would stoop to such atrocities as we would be killing each other. We think about the war in Ukraine right now. We think about all of what's been going on, even in our cities, human trafficking, and on we could go. There is a problem with the condition of the human heart. There is darkness on this earth, and there is darkness that we wrestle with ourselves, even as believers in Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of darkness out there, isn't that right? We haven't even mentioned the Civil War. I was just watching a documentary on that recently. Can you imagine brother against brother in the Civil War? All that went on in our history as a nation. Now, let's not forget that it's true that, yes, under God's common grace, as image bearers of our Creator, evil is restrained at times. Social good is done by those who do not have the Spirit of God. That is true. But Satan, as the God of light, the God of this world, the prince of this present darkness, he has blinded, the Bible tells us, the eyes of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the very image of God. He lurks in the shadows and he pulls us into his realm if we let him. Humanity, it's hard for us to hear this, but humanity loves darkness, loves the sinful atmosphere because of blindness and the power of the evil one around us, but also by choice, as we have seen, because of fear that their evil works will be exposed. John 3:19 and 20. So rather than face the fear and exposure and shame of sinful behavior, people remain incognito in their sinful ways. Often nowadays, it's just open rebellion against the law and the will of God, against God's holiness and righteous law. People just could care less today. There is no fear of God. The Bible has said the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. God is put on the shelf because as a human race, we think we know what is best. And we suffer the consequences as a result. And Christian friends, if we are honest, sometimes we fall into this same category as redeemed followers of Jesus. We know all too well when we have left the light and have walked in darkness ourselves. Thank God we don't fall out of grace, but we fall into grace and forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus, which pleads always for our sin. We know all too well when we have left the light and walked into darkness, and we need to repent and get back into the light where grace is found. Amen? That's what we need to do. When we wander around in the things that are shady in this world, in this life, it's to our own detriment. God would say very simply to us, get out of the darkness and get into the light. That's where blessing is found. Nothing good happens in the shadows of sinful environments. Now, clearly, as we know, God could have left us and left his creation in darkness and allowed humanity to continue unabated on the path of the dark path of sin and self-destruction. But that is where, you see, the good news comes in. That is where a passage of Scripture is so key and so wonderful for us. Think about John 12, verse 46, where Jesus said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus gets us out of the darkness into the light. John 1, 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, what? Overcome it. The one thing about light is that darkness cannot dispel it. The light shatters the darkness. And when you turn on the light, as we've mentioned in a dark cellar, or the bright moon and stars on a clear night shine and twinkle, putting forth light in the sky, you just can't miss it. Or the sunset, which is so beautiful because the light shining brightly as the sun is setting and disappearing. However, remember, it is shining brightly on the other side of the world. Light has come, brothers and sisters. God turned on the light spiritually also in our lives, in his time. In his time, God sent forth his one and only Son to bring light into this world, to bring light into our lives. John 8, 12, remember again, says, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Not I was or I will be. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Do you know him as the light of the world today? Does he make a difference in your life? Does he bring light into the things you do? Are you and I, are we walking in his light? Not only has light come, Jesus, as the light of the world, brings deliverance, does he not? God is the only source of true light that can deliver. In Colossians, Paul says this in Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain or the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. You see, we have crossed over the border, if you will, from one kingdom into another. When we think of deliverance or delivery, we often think of a package or a piece of mail. We are the package, in a sense, delivered from one camp to another, from one domain to another. He has hand-delivered us. This is God's personal involvement into his eternal kingdom. We are citizens of his heavenly commonwealth now by faith. Even though we are not yet fully seeing the glorious finality of our salvation, we are part of his kingdom right now as we walk with him on this earth. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, our sins, and also moves into our very souls. His Spirit comes into us when we surrender to him, and his Spirit communes with our spirit for all eternity. The Holy Spirit becomes that stamp, that seal of our like a deposit of our guarantee of our citizenship in heaven. So through faith then, brothers and sisters, we become recipients of this shining light, and therefore, listen now, this is where we're going with our text this morning. We can reflect and emit the radiance of Christ in our world. We are able now to do that because of what God has done in our lives. He indeed has put light into our lives, and we can radiate that light through the Holy Spirit who shines in our hearts to be part of dispelling the darkness on this planet. Amen? That's our call as Christians on the earth. Otherwise, when you came to faith in Christ, God could have taken you home. But he's left you here for a reason. You see, the Bible tells us that we've been forgiven from our sins, but we've also been forgiven for something, to be his light on this planet. Think of what the psalmist says. Psalm 34, verse 5. Look what it says. Those who look to him, what? They are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Sometimes those of us who have the radiance of Christ in our hearts, we need to inform our faces. Christians, we should be radiant because when we look to Jesus, he brings the light. Psalm 34, 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." You see, the miraculous work of God in the new birth, being born again, is eye-opening. Sometimes we forget that new birth experience in Christ, and we're not communing with him, and so the light becomes dim in our hearts. And I recognize that letting the light in and letting it shine through our lives is a process that we all learn how it is to walk in the light. That takes time as Christians. But more and more as we do that, we become the radiance of God's glory on this planet. A planet that is filled with darkness. So what does this all mean, friends? Nice doctrine, Missionary John, that's great. Thanks for all the theology. But what does this mean for you and me? You in Norwood, Massachusetts in the 21st century. Me as well as I come and go. Well, once again, the Bible shines light on this, does it not? Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Here it is. Jesus came as the shining light, the great light of life. Even as God in the beginning, you see, brought forth physical light, on that first day of creation, eternal spiritual light and life come through his one and only Son in the fullness of time in our lives. The true light, you see, which enlightens every man, has come into the world. But not only into the world, but personally Jesus takes residence in our lives and allows us to shine as his agents of light. Amen? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But you know what he also said? "You are the light of the world. Take my light, pass it on." Every one of you this morning has your story. We could spend hours, probably days, of listening to how God has transformed your life, has changed you, has brought light into your darkness, has transformed your life in a way that you just are so thankful, you're bursting forth with praise. That's why you're here to worship him this morning, to give him the glory, because the light dispels the darkness. God has opened your eyes to the light of the truth. It is a supernatural work of God, and all of us are so privileged to have been chosen by God to receive the light of the gospel. Now, that shouldn't create a false or a self-righteous pride within us, but we should be thankful and praise his name. So what's our response then to being transferred into the kingdom of light? Because you see, as our passage said this morning, you are no longer darkness, remember, but you are what? Light in the Lord, not transferring light necessarily, but you are light. That is your identity. My identity now in Christ Jesus. So if we are light, if we have received the light, then what do? We are to become, listen, good reflectors of that light. Amen? We need to be reflecting the light of Jesus Christ that has come into us. You were once darkness, Paul says, but now you are light. And then what does he say? Walk, live as children of light. Imagine children's faces smiling to the fullest. Look at those faces. What happens to you when you see those faces? It's contagious, is it not? It makes you smile. Look to him and be radiant, the psalmist says, so that your faces may not be ashamed. You see, when the light of Christ lightens up our lives, it's going to be contagious. People are going to say, what's going on with those people in that church in Norwood? They're happy. They have purpose. When tragedy comes, God does something and lifts them forth, and their light shines. I love looking at kids' faces. We were just vacationing in southern New York with our children and everything, and that was a wonderful experience. And we've got three kids, and they're all grown up and married now, and we got eight grandchildren, and all those grandchildren jumping in the pool, jumping in the hot tub, back and forth, smiling. That makes grandpa smile too. And it's a great experience. And brothers and sisters, that is what should be happening with us. But think about it. If we are going to be good reflectors of Christ's light, then the reflector must be clear. Not foggy, right? It should be clear. You know that if a mirror is foggy or dirty or smudged, it's not a very good reflector, is it? We can't see the image clearly. But when we get that cloth out or we clean it with the Windex or whatever, clean it off, and we dry it off, then the image comes clear. And you understand the spiritual parallel that I'm talking about, amen? Clearly, light and darkness, they have moral implications. If we are compromising in our thought lives, if we are compromising with our eyes, if we are compromising with our activities, our reflection is going to be shadowy. And there's only one solution. As the people of God, we need to pray and surrender and confess our sin and get out of the darkness and walk back into the light. We need to clean off that mirror, in a sense. And you will feel much better, and your light will reflect the image more clearly of what's in it. People will see Christ in us more clearly. Amen? The spiritual parallel is unmistakable for us. And the Holy Spirit informs us of those areas that we need to clean up. But you see, then and only then will we be able to reflect the light of Christ in today's world. So again, let me challenge you. We all have our hidden lives. Are you hanging out in the shadows? Or are you walking in the lights? What can help us in this area, brothers and sisters? I think it's an accountability partners. If you don't have one, you should get one. The Bible says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day coming, the day drawing near of Christ's return. Are we encouraging one another? Do we have a brother or sister that we can talk with when we're struggling and maybe lurking in the edge of the shadows to get us out and to walk in the light? Is there somebody in your life you can talk with and meet with who can help you, who you can open up, let your hair down, and be vulnerable with? Remember our theme verses, for at one time you were darkness, but in Christ now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look what he says, for the fruit of light is found what? In all that is good, and right, and true. Paul singles out those three words. Let's just unpack that as we wind up here this morning. He says, first of all, walk as children of life. What does walking mean? It means moving forward. Remember Psalm 1, blessed is one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. It's walking, is moving forward. The role of Scripture brings light into our lives. What verses have you been meditating on this week that will help you walk in the light, that will remind you where the lighted path is? Walking. Paul says, walking, walking in the light. Living in the light. How are we doing in that area? 1 John 1:5, John says, for if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. There's wonderful, joyous fellowship. Try to have good fellowship with a brother and sister when you're living in the shadows. It doesn't work. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We confess our sin, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And we can shine more brightly. If your life was like a house or a home, would you be embarrassed to let Christ walk into all the closets in your house, into all the different rooms? Or do you keep the doors shut and it gets musty and dusty in there, and you say, no, God, I'm not going to let you in there to clean it out? Remember also in our passage it says that we should walk as children of light. Don't you love children who just tend to trust much more easily than we as adults? And they tend to obey, not all the time, but oftentimes they just live with that simple faith of a child. We need to walk as children of light. What else does he say? It says the fruit bearing, the fruit of the light. Fruit bearing, when we walk in the light, that is when we're abiding and communing, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, the fruit will come in our behavior. And what is the fruit in our behavior? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The character of the Christian is what the character has to be of a missionary across the street and around the world. Fruit bearing. Paul says more specifically, look at the words, he says goodness. The fruit of the light is in all what is good or goodness. Agathosune, the Greeks would say. Paul singles this word out. The idea of loving kindness, not selfish, building up, not tearing down. God said at creation it was good, it was good. And in the new creation, the absence of evil will be the full and radiant presence of good. Goodness is the very nature of God, doing things that are good. What can you and I, brothers and sisters, do today, this week, that is good in our world? Instead of criticizing everything, step up, Christians. We need to do what's good. Goodness. The next word, what does he use? What is right? Righteousness. Diakosune. He singles this word out. We have all used the expression, when something is self-evident, we feel it in our gut that something, you know, that is just not right. And the Spirit tells us it's not just. The Holy Spirit guides us and he convicts us. And are we being advocates, brothers and sisters, as Christians, for what is right? What is righteous? That's the fruit of walking in the light. Too many times as Christians, we disengage with our world because that's not the gospel. Well, this is the gospel. Goodness, righteousness, and the third word Paul uses is truth. Aletheia, the Greeks used. The truth begins with what? The gospel. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the truth that will set us free. Amen? It sets us free from the shackles of sin and from the darkness of sin and from the power of Satan. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we live in a day when truth, righteousness, and goodness, they are relative terms not based on God's holy standard. Isn't that true? We are counterculture as Christians in many ways. The world we live in and generations to come will seek to redefine what God has established. Am I not right? What is good, what is right, and what is true. We see it today. When we came home from the mission field in 2001, that was, remember 9/11 happened that fall, but we couldn't believe what was happening in the culture of America. That which is supposed to be true and righteous doesn't matter. God, who cares what he thinks? It was amazing when our eyes were opened and we saw that. The world we live in and the generations to come will seek to redefine what God has established as good. But in Psalm 1, the Bible still speaks truth. The Lord, what knows the way of the righteous? The way of the wicked will perish. Let's conclude with the words of Jesus. John's gospel records for us the words of Jesus, "I am the light of the world." Matthew's gospel records for us that we become lights in the world and we are to shine. Paul says that we are to shine as lights in the universe in Philippians. On a clear night, the heavens are lit up with the stars reflecting the light. You can't miss that, can you? Think about it, Christians. Are we like that in our world, salt and light and on this earth? You can't miss a twinkling star on a clear night. People see us as Christians. Do they see Christ? Do they see his light? Are we reflecting his light across the street and around the world? You may think that you have only this little light of mine, but remember, you reflect the great light of Christ who is in you. For us, through your sending and God's blessing, we are blessed to be sent to Africa and counted a great privilege. And as you partner with us in ministries, we have the opportunity to shine brightly the gospel throughout the globe. You've been very patient, but let me just close with a couple little illustrations here. I remember as a Cub Scouter in science class, we learned about the convex magnifying glass. Remember that? And when the light would shine through it with sun or heat, the rays would bend down and the heat would become intense and you could burn a leaf, right? And start a fire. I mean, I can remember that, and probably some of us did things we shouldn't have with that magnifying glass. But it's amazing when we think about the fact that we become like that convex lens through our testimony, and we become a transmitter of the intense light and heat of the gospel, with Christ always being the source. And when it happens, when the light shines brightly and it's concentrated through that lens, the heat comes as well, and the power of the gospel, think about it, is felt in our world. You see where we're going with that? Matthew 5:16, remember that this shining light of Christ's presence, listen carefully, because this is what Jesus was trying to get through to us, is manifested. Let your light so shine that people may see what? Your good works. You see, the people see the light on this planet by what we do as Christians. Then they can give glory to God. Jesus said, let it shine so brightly that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Christians, we are called to be an active source of light on this earth. And the shining light, the radiance of Christ comes when we are doing good, when we are exposing unrighteousness and darkness, when we are following the truth. Last word, maybe. So often, as we see darkness creeping in on our society, we can so easily become overwhelmed. Amen. We just wonder as Christians, are we able to make any difference at all? Well, I'm here to tell you that I know a lot of people who have made a tremendous amount of difference in my life. And some of them are probably not even aware of it right now. There are some people in this room who have been a light to my life and have motivated me. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9, he said, "And let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season," Paul said, "we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So then as we have opportunities, let us do good, Paul says, to all men and especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want you to do something this week for me. I want you to ask God, what is the one good thing that you want me to do in my household of faith this week? Ask God, and I'm sure he'll tell you something. And then you know what? Just do it. Just do it. You see, the difference that we make as Christians in life, listen to me, comes through our perseverance. You say that with me? The difference comes through our perseverance. The difference comes through our perseverance. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. I know it's overwhelming sometimes, but as Christians, brothers and sisters, we are called to let the light shine. Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, as you're abounding, as you're shining brightly, your labor is not in vain. We will never know the effect we have on someone's life through something we say, or especially something we do, some random act of kindness. Some of you know the story of Dwight L. Moody. You know where he became a Christian? City of Boston. A Sunday school teacher thought he had to just reach this one young boy who was working in a shoe store, and he just was convicted by the Spirit of God. He had to go, and so he walked to the shoe store where Dwight L. Moody was working. And you know what? He was afraid. He thought, bother him, he's working. And so we walked right by. He walked by, and then he turned around because he knew, no, I can't let go of this opportunity. He walked back in, went to the back of the shoe store, and led Dwight L. Moody to Christ. You can see the plaque in the city of Boston. It's right there where the shoe store was. So then, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of faith. Across the street, around the world, if we walk in the light, brothers and sisters, the darkness will be dispelled. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And our focus will glow like Moses' face when he was up receiving the Ten Commandments face to face with God. Remember? He came down and his face was glowing, and so they had to put a veil over his face. Well, as Christians, the veil, you see, is taken away by the gospel coming to our hearts, and then we can shine brightly. I was talking to my son the last couple of days, and we were thinking, are there any other illustrations out there? I always want to illustrate what you're talking about. And we were reminded of Apollo 13 movie. You remember the Apollo 13 movie? James Lovell, who was that astronaut who faced that tragic emergency situation, and he remembered back in his life as a Navy pilot when he was coming in to land his aircraft on the aircraft carrier, and all his electronics went out in his jet. He couldn't see a thing. How's he going to land this thing? No lights. And you know what happened? The the props of the aircraft carrier had been churning up the algae and the plankton behind it. And so that glowing green light from the algae and the plankton was kind of like a light on a runway for him and led him right to the aircraft carrier. And he was able to land safely. He says, you never know what happens when the light can be there. God makes a way. Jesus is the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, remember, you are the light of the world as well. And God wants us to be those who glow as Moses did in our world. Will you pray with me as we close? Father, you know the challenges that we all face. We know, Father, that your word is the truth and the truth will set us free. Lord, we need your help. We long to be radiating the love of Christ in our worlds. We long to be partnering, God, throughout the world that others might see the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you lead us and help us to be the people you want us to be? We would not grow weary in well-doing. Father, the one good thing you want us to do, help us to pick up what you're calling us to do, Lord, and taking a hold of the truth that you give us to take action in our lives, that people might see those good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Lord, we give you thanks for the truth of your word. May it be sealed in our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.